Well, good evening again. Good to see you all this evening. Go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. When you found it, if we could go ahead and pray and just ask for the Lord's help in what we're going to look at this evening. So, okay, let's go ahead and pray then. Lord, as we look at your word, we need to see what you want as far as changing our hearts and our lives. Lord, I don't want this evening for us to go back to our house the same way that we came. I want your word to be able to change our hearts. I want it to be able to refresh my mind and my heart of the things that I've studied. And I want your word to be able to help each person that's here. So, Lord, would you please use me and help so that all of us can be helped. Because I know your word has the power to do that. And watch over us now as we study your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Galatians 6. I'm going to have us read one verse to start out with, kind of as sort of introduction, then we'll come back to it. Look at verse 9, okay? Let's go to verse 9. Galatians 6, 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This idea of weary in well-doing, it reminds me of a situation that happened just a couple months ago. Our pastor from the U.S. came over to New Guinea, and he was there for the commissioning service for Pastor Tom. And while he was there, they got together all the church guys, and we wanted to be able to gather a bunch of firewood to do. They were going to have a big meal, a big moo-moo, where they bury the food in the ground and heat up the stones so that they can cook the food. But they need a lot of firewood for that. So we went to a section. We drove there. It was probably about 5 minutes away, just driving slow down the bush roads. Drove as far as the vehicle could go, but then it was the tree that we were going to be cutting was down in the bush a little bit further. So we had to leave the vehicle. There's no way to go down that grade and come back up again. It was too slippery. So we left it there, and it was a good, about a 10-minute walk from where we left the vehicle, up on the hill. So we left it on the mountain, and we went down. So they had, Pastor Tom was working on using the chainsaw to cut up the lumber. And so the logs were like this big around. They were some pretty good logs. They were about this, you know, meter or so long, ready for putting in the fire. And then we would carry them up to the vehicle. And it was interesting and I'm sure if you've carried heavy things for a while, you know how this works. You pick it up, put it on your shoulder, and at the first it seems like, well, it's a little bit heavy, but I can handle this. You know, it's no big deal. I got this. You start carrying it. But the further you go, the longer you start carrying it, you start becoming a little bit weary, especially when you're as high of altitude as we are. Our pastor was not used to the high elevation, and it wasn't very long. To be honest, I was right with him, getting pretty exhausted as we start the grade climbing up towards on that mountain towards where the vehicle was. We started getting exhausted. We stopped being able to talk. We were breathing so heavily. About halfway up, we had to stop, put the load down, wait, and I think we had to have another rest section further up as we kept on going. And that was, I know that's not a very fancy illustration, but here it is. It's an idea of this idea of becoming weary. At the start, it doesn't seem like any big deal. It seems like, well, I can do this, I can handle this. As we keep on going, it gets harder and harder and harder to keep on doing the same thing. It wasn't that my mindset had changed. I didn't all of a sudden, you know, down there at the bottom, I decided I want to carry this to the top. And halfway up, I decided, no, I don't really want this. I still wanted the log up to the top of the hill. But what happened is I started getting weary. My body was wearing out because of doing the same thing. The load hadn't increased. It's just I was carrying it longer and continuing in that. The command that God has given us here is let us not be weary in well-doing. We talked this morning about the idea of serving. And sometimes we're doing the right things. Now, there are many things, and actually we're going to look into this chapter starting in verse 1. And just very briefly, we're going to look at some of the aspects of the Christian life where God is telling us, be careful not to be weary in well-doing. And we can look at even some more applications to this principle. But I believe this principle is very important because sometimes we can start doing the right thing. We can start serving. We can start being involved in a ministry. We can start being involved in witnessing to somebody else. And we're going to go into some other illustrations or examples in a minute. But we can start doing the right thing but we start becoming weary. It was interesting as I was a few weeks ago, or I guess it was just a couple weeks ago when we were in Monhagen, and the missionary there that was working with the Bible school, he was mentioning to me that one of the big concerns he has for the different of the pastors in New Guinea is the idea of perseverance when things don't seem to be happening. You know, many of them are in areas where just because of their location, they don't necessarily see a lot happening. And some of them, they've had church splits where half of them left because of a grudge over something else, and they all left, and now the pastor is serving, and he's got a great big building, but then only a small group in there because he's been being faithful, but the results aren't what he expected to see. And it reminded me the fact that that's not just for pastors, that is not just for people that are in full-time ministry, that's for every single person. The concept of not being weary or being faithful in our well-doing, in that which is right. Go back, if you would, with me to verse number 1. And as I was studying this, I wanted to see the context. What specifically is God trying to tell us as Christians? Continue doing this. Don't be weary in this aspect of well-doing. So I want us to see, and we're not going to go very, very far into each of these verses, but I hope it can make sense to you and see what God is specifically telling us, and then we can make some more applications. But verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now, hold that thought. We're going to come back to it. Basically, you continue the thought, and it gets down to verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." He's giving us a command, and at the end he says, do that, but don't be weary in it. What's he actually telling us there in verse 1? He's reminding us of our responsibility as Christians to be helping those that have fallen into sin, whether it be a huge sin or just they've strayed in their Christian life. He's saying it's our responsibility in the spirit of meekness, in that humility. It says, restore such an one. If you're right with God, if you are spiritual, and the Spirit of God is controlling your life, then you have an obligation to help to restore. Just like somebody with it is wounded, you don't go close to them and kick them and punch them again because they dared to get wounded. You go over there and you help to bandage them up, help to set the bone if you're a doctor, you know, that sort of a thing. The principle with us as Christians is if you see somebody that's fallen, go and help them. Help to bring them closer to Christ. And sometimes we use this or think of this maybe in the big aspects of falling down, in the sense of somebody is far, far away from the Lord. And that definitely applies. But I believe that applies to even areas where we see, maybe we're seeing somebody get discouraged, somebody getting frustrated with their walk with the Lord. Maybe they're not being faithful in coming to church. Those smaller areas, God has given us the responsibility to, if we're right with God, to help to bring them closer to Him. But think about this. God's saying, don't be weary in this aspect of well-doing. Have you ever tried to help somebody that is going in the wrong direction? And when you try to help them, instead of gladly receiving it, instead they push you away, they get angry with you, they get frustrated at you because they don't want to receive that help, that instruction. They don't want to be brought back to God. What is our temptation? Is it to say, great, next week I'm going to go back and I'm going to try this again. And next week I'm going to try it again. And next week I'm going to keep on trying and trying until that person comes back to the Lord. Is that your natural tendency? Maybe you're different than me. With me, it's definitely not that way. If you've been pushed away one or two times, our natural tendency is to say, okay, well, if you don't want my help, then forget it. It's not worth the pain. It's not worth the hurt of being pushed away and of maybe being responded to incorrectly. But God is saying, be not weary in well-doing. If you know it's right to do, keep on and keep on and keep on doing it. Look at verse 2. I don't want to belabor one particular point. Verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So not only the negative side, but also as far as going alongside people and helping them in their walk with God. This is more the positive side, not just the sinning side. But when you see somebody that needs encouragement and help, maybe working with somebody in ministry, whatever their burden, maybe it is just that they are grieving over something. So again, this isn't falling into sin. This is the idea of helping someone else in their walk with God. God's saying, carrying the burdens of others. Sometimes we can do that. And again, like my illustration at the start, the load doesn't seem so heavy at the start when we first start carrying that. But when you are maybe listening to people's troubles and just be a listening ear for them, again, maybe this is just me, but after you hear somebody maybe what feels like complaining, and you're being there for them, but they just feels like they're always wanting to complain. They're always wanting to tell about their griefs and worries, and they don't really care too much about what you have to say. They just want to be able to talk about all their negative things. You are bearing their burdens. You are doing the right thing. But how often does that start getting very wearisome to us? Where after a little while, we just, you know, I'm not going to go over to that person. I'm not going to visit them. I'm not going to talk to them too much because all they want to do is spell out all of their worries, all their concerns, because we tend to be selfish, right? And God's saying that's the right thing to do. Continue in the ministry of bearing one another's burdens. Verse 3, we're going to actually read 3 through 5. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now here's the idea of taking responsibility for yourself. Specifically, you look in verse 4 there, let every man prove or examine or evaluate his own work. So that's what God wants us to be doing, is to doing that self-evaluation. It's a little bit of a twist here. The other ones have been talking about how to help other people. And now this is talking about doing right as far as evaluating yourself. Now, let's turn this back on the concept of not being weary in well-doing. Sometimes in your Christian life, if you're like me, you're going to be looking at the idea of self-evaluation and you're going to be excited about it. You're wanting to change. You're wanting to see what's wrong. And so you're asking the Lord, please show me what's wrong. Sometimes in your Christian life, it'll be like that. Sometimes in your Christian life, because maybe you're not quite as close to the Lord, your mindset is not going to be saying, God, I want to show you to show me something else, some other way that I'm doing wrong. Maybe you've got this mentality right then, Lord, I've got so many other things I'm trying to work on. Please don't show me one more thing. I can't handle that right now. I know that there must be something else, but please, Lord, I don't really want to do any evaluation now. Maybe you come to a church service and your mentality is not, Lord, show me, let me examine myself. God, I want to prove my own work. I want to examine my life, my works, my actions, and to see, is this right or not? Instead, we've become weary and say, you know what, I'm just exhausted. I really don't care about finding anything else. I'll go ahead and just hear it and let it go in one ear out the other and not really pay attention. Maybe we come, and I've been guilty of this, I'll admit, sometimes we come and we hear something that could be applied to us, whether it be you're reading in your Bible yourself or coming to church, it could apply to you. But instead of listening and receiving it as something that God can use to change you, instead we think, oh, well, that person, they really should hear this. We think of the person maybe in the same congregation, or maybe I should go and tell somebody else because they really could use this. This would really be a help to them. Instead of realizing God is wanting to work in me. Now, the idea of be not weary in well-doing, God wants me to be faithfully doing that work of self-evaluation, because, as it says in verse 5, every man shall bear his own burden. God's going to hold me responsible for what I do. So that is why he's saying he wants me to keep on doing what is right in evaluating myself. Look at verse 6. We're almost done with the list here, and then we come into kind of the principle of sowing and reaping. Verse 6 there, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now here, again, I'm sure you've probably known this from studying the Bible, the idea of communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things is not talking primarily about communication as in talking to them. This is the idea of giving financially, specifically. The idea of giving to meet the needs of those, it says here, unto him that teacheth in all good things. So specifically, the main application is the idea of a church supporting their pastor. Now, I think there's a broader application in the idea of being willing to give of what we have, whether it be time or money, to support the Lord's work. Okay, that's a broader application. Specifically is the idea of supporting the pastor, but then the idea in a more general sense of being willing to use that which I have to support the Lord's work in a more general sense. And he's saying here, do that And then it follows right into verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then you go down to verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. So the immediate context is here is, you know, sometimes when we give, you know, we see the promises in the Bible, you give and God's going to reward. You give and God is taking record of that. There's so many verses that talk about the rewards in giving. And you know how we as humans are, we want to see the results right away. We want to see, I gave, I've been faithful in tithing, and now I'm not having any problems financially, not having any difficulties, the money's just pouring in. It doesn't always work that way. God does bless in financial ways as well, definitely. But God's blessings are not always in a physical sense. God doesn't always bless physically right then, as in you give the money in and it's going to come back twofold to you the next day in some sort of way. God doesn't always give His blessings that way. Having said that, He's saying, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, again, the general concept of here is there are many things that God wants us to be doing, and we could apply this principle to so many other things throughout the Bible. How about family life? Sometimes we do the right things, even maybe in a husband-wife relationship where you respond rightly to somebody and you expect, well, because I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing, well, of course, they should be responding to me, right? And then what if they don't? Are we going to continue being faithful in well-doing, doing the right thing over and over and over and over because it's right? Or are we going to give up because, well, I didn't get the results that I wanted right away? Whether it be there, that's a principle there also in family, in raising kids. That's another thing. Again, God's given instructions for how to correct and instruct and discipline and all those things. And sometimes we follow through, we do what is right, and we say, well, God, where's the results? Why isn't everything not happening exactly how it's supposed to be? You know, I want these results and I'm doing what I think is the right thing. Why is everything, you know, why am I not seeing instant results? Even as far as witnessing, I'm sure you've seen this one. You go out and you pass out tracts. You talk to somebody about the Lord. How many times is it that you hand a gospel tract to somebody and instantly they're just wanting to accept Christ right away? They don't even want you to go back to the house. They want to get saved right there and then. I know that happens occasionally. That doesn't usually happen. I know that Australia as a whole and many people are very hardened against the things of the Lord. But I've noticed even over in New Guinea where people are open to the things of the Lord in general, there's something about the sin nature that even though they're willing and happy to have you share the gospel with them, that doesn't mean they're ready to actually receive the gospel. There are many, many people. In fact, I would say most of the people in our congregation back in New Guinea, I say ours, we've left it in the hands of Pastor Tom, but I think you know what I mean, the church we've been working with. Most of them that have accepted Christ were in the hearing of the gospel. They heard the gospel over and over and over for at least a year before they actually accepted Christ. They would come faithfully Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. They would come to all the services, and many times they'd be raising their hand saying, I need to be saved, need to be saved. I'd go talk to them. Well, you know, just thanks, keep praying for me. And it would keep on going that way. But then when they finally accepted Christ, then they were solid in their belief. Now, that wasn't always the case. Pastor Tom was one of the ones, but after just a few weeks of hearing the gospel, he accepted Christ. But many of them were not that way. And again, it reminds me the idea of being faithful in well-doing. Sometimes it may be a lifetime of continuing working and working and working. Now, think of one illustration in our church in New Guinea. Jackson got saved in 2020. I just looked back this afternoon because I was trying to make sure I didn't get the timings wrong. His wife, Sami, got saved in 2011 that she accepted Christ. So 2011, she got saved. She was witnessing to him from 2011 all the way through 2020. And he was not always a nice guy towards her. Okay, he could be abusive towards her. And she had a difficult time continuing to be a good testimony to her husband. And she would witness to him in appropriate ways, and she would keep on praying for him. She was faithful in church for those 9 years when finally in 2020, so 4 years ago, he asked me to come and do a Bible study at their house. And because of all the preparation that was largely due to his wife's testimony, he accepted Christ on that first time when I went. But it wasn't that somehow I was doing all kinds of magical convincing to him. It's that the Lord had been working in his heart through the testimony of his wife, through preaching that he had heard, and he had been doing some reading as well. But it's exciting to see those situations of somebody being faithful and having that every single day, the idea of her trying to be a faithful testimony. And she's a human. I'm sure she wasn't perfect every time. But showing the Christian testimony to where then he did accept Christ. And that's an exciting thing to see. But it took many years before he accepted Christ. So we come down to the principle there in verse 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The emphasis here is an encouraging motivation to us as Christians to say, keep on going. If you know that what you're doing is right, keep on doing what is right. But it was interesting, the Lord brought to my attention in the context of this, yes, he's saying you're going to reap the rewards of what you're doing. God is going to reward you for doing right. You don't do it just because you want to get a pat on the back, but God is keeping track. God says, I will reward you. And he's saying, don't forget, there's heaven after this life. Even if it seems like you don't see anything, God is keeping track. But it was interesting to think of also the negative. God saying, if you look at verse 8 again, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Meaning, in my Christian life, I can't be forgetting. Yes, there's the idea of receiving God's commendation and his rewards. But there's the opposite side. If I am choosing to say, this isn't worth it, I am going to be weary in well-doing, I am going to give up and just sit on the sidelines, I'm going to stop doing what I know is right. He's saying, don't forget, it's not just that you're missing out on the positive rewards, but you choose to do what you know is not right, you will reap the results of that as well. If you sow to your flesh, you will reap of the flesh corruption. The idea of corruption, or that which is just stinking the idea of death, okay? That's what he's getting across here. It is going to be harmful to you. And I think sometimes it's easy to look at it and say, well, if I serve God, I'll be rewarded. If I don't, then I'm just kind of in neutral ground here. But he's not saying there's a neutral ground. He's saying you are planting one sort of a seed or the other in your life. You're either planting the seed of, or sowing to the Spirit, and you're going to reap the rewards. Or you are sowing to your flesh. And that, I believe, can be just us choosing to do nothing. We know this is the right thing to do, but I don't feel like doing it. Kind of going back a little bit to what we talked about this morning. I don't feel like doing it, so I am following what my flesh wants to do. I'm doing nothing. But I've got to remember, and I believe God wants us all to remember, if I choose to follow what my flesh wants, I may not reap those rewards immediately, just like we don't reap the good rewards immediately, but we will reap them. And honestly, when you see yourself or you see somebody else that is going the wrong direction spiritually, kind of ties back to verse 1 there, the importance of helping to draw them back to the Lord, and you seeing the importance of yourself getting back to the Lord, they are planting seeds. Those seeds will bear fruit. They are hurting themselves, even if they don't think they are. Even if the results aren't happening right then, they are hurting themselves. Or if it's you, you are harming yourself because you're planting the wrong kinds of seeds. The emphasis here is not on the negative. The emphasis is on the positive. Don't be weary. If you plant the right kind of seed, you will see fruit. But again, it does not say here, you will see fruit in this life. It doesn't say what kind of fruit specifically, other than it's going to be the... It says here, reap life everlasting, not that we gain salvation by doing what is right, but at the end of our long and weary struggle of doing right and serving the Lord, there is everlasting life waiting for us. Not as a reward for doing right, but that is what is at the end. That is at the end of the race, along with the implication is here, the prizes, the rewards that God gives to those who are faithful. So, bring it all to a summary here. God's given us kind of a list of some things that He's specifically saying, these aspects of the Christian life, don't be weary. Don't be weary in being faithful and helping to bring others closer to Christ. Those Christians that are straying, helping them to come closer. Don't be weary in bearing each other's burdens and helping them, strengthening them. Don't be weary in evaluating yourself. Don't be weary in financial side of giving and supporting the work of the Lord. And again, the implication, I believe, is this is just a sampling. This is just a sample of the kind of things that we ought to be faithful in. And saying, I know the right thing to do. I am going to continue faithfully in that. Why? Because whichever direction we choose, there is a reward. There is a consequence. There is a fruit. If I choose the way of my flesh, I will reap the consequences. It will hurt me. Again, remind yourself again, this is not just a neutral ground. I'm just missing out on rewards. This isn't just neutral. He doesn't say, if you sow to your flesh, you're not going to reap anything, but if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap blessings in heaven. That's not what He's saying. There is the negative and the positive. But the final focus, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'd like to ask you just kind of in a summary and closing here. What is it in your life right now that you would look at and say, that or that issue in my life, this aspect of my life, I've been getting weary with. I used to be a lot stronger in that, but yeah, I'm not so much anymore. Would you ask the Lord to remind you of this truth, the importance of not being weary, but also the importance of remembering you are planting fruit right now. This day's actions, what you did today, what I did today, we are planting fruit. Either we planted good fruit or bad fruit. If you planted the bad fruit, you will reap the consequences of it. You plant the good fruit, you will reap the good consequences. So it can encourage you, if you planted the right fruit, if that is your, if you have been doing that, God's saying, trust me, I will give the fruit. Not necessarily immediately, but you will get it. You know how, this is, I'm done here, but you know how it is with planting a garden, perhaps even something like a tree. Some things are fast results, some things are slow results. You plant something like lettuce and you're going to get that, well, depending on the place you're planting it, you're going to get that in just, you know, maybe 7-8 weeks, you're going to have the harvest. You plant something like a apple tree, olive tree, something like that, it's going to be years before you see the harvest. It doesn't mean it isn't coming, it just means some things take longer than others, both for positive and negative actions in our life. Sometimes those results are delayed, but God says the results will come.